Tonight, Patty welcomes Pretty Late favorite Knife and Tine to the studio. We chat with the parking ticket geek about the latest red light camera problem, and a whole bunch of clarinet players perform in studio. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Hello. Every once in a while, we like to take a moment of silence, give you an opportunity to reflect on your life and maybe take stock of things to decide what's important. Actually, I was thinking about what's important today, and I have two beautiful little boys and a wonderful husband, and I'm very lucky. There are moments when one or both of my children take my breath away. Declan is a little boy who has special needs, and he has a different outlook on the world. He loves to tap and find what things sound like. At 9 years old, he does not talk yet, and we're always finding new ways to help him communicate. And his big brother is the best big brother he could have. And as Griffin has told me, Declan is the best little brother he could have. And we were in the car today going home from school. I had picked him up, and I needed to stop and get my shoes from a cobbler. And yes, there are still cobblers. I think they're still called cobblers, those who fix shoes. I don't know if they make shoes. Can I have shoes? I wonder how much it would cost to have shoes made, but that sounds like something that would be fun. So we were on our way, and I said, Griffin, we're going to be right by the chocolate shop, the ice cream shop in Edgebrook, but we're not going to have time to get ice cream. Maybe we'll stop and get a pint to take it home with us. And he said, Mommy, can't we stop and get ice cream? And I said, well, we have not had dinner yet. And then he said, under his breath, he goes, well, what would the wine diva say? And for those of you who are family members of WGN for many years will know that Christine Bloomer, the wine diva, who was a regular on Steve Cochran's show, a very good friend of mine, someone I miss all the time. We lost her several years ago. And what the wine diva would have said was, life's too short to not have dessert before dinner. And how do you not? I mean, like, and he's never played that card before. It's not like he, you know, yes, was it, it was well played, I felt. It was not overly manipulative. He's never, ever done it before. I don't know how many times it's going to work, but, you know, I suspect having had it work once, I hope that he is careful in how he uses that one again, pulling on mommy's emotional heartstrings. So we pulled over and had some ice cream in memory of the wine diva. And because life is short, and when you get to spend time with your son at your favorite ice cream shop, and it's also the same place I used to go when I was a little girl. My dad used to take me there when it was a Baskin-Robbins. So it was a whole thing. It was a whole emotional, let's have ice cream moment. And, you know, there's a chill in the air, and it might seem like it's counterintuitive to have ice cream, but it's never too cold to have ice cream. And Craig, you've been to my chocolate shop in Edgebrook with the spinning, with the spinning Rahm Emanuel dressed in a pink tutu.
Oh, that is awesome. How often do they switch out all their decorations?
It depends. The one before this was there for a long time.
Got it.
It was there for almost a year. So
wow.
I'm not sure.
Because the Rahm Emanuel really should just stay where he is.
I think
that's
so.
That's a pretty cool tutu'd Rahm.
Well, it's also, and I think that President Obama is in a guillotine, which is a little strange.
Yeah, that's a little bit more of a political commentary.
The whole thing.
Decoration. Yeah.
It's become much more political in the last 2 or 3 years.
In an ice cream store.
Well, the whole
thing. That's where I want my politics.
And they skewer all the politicians. They also have stuff about Boehner and Sarah Palin, and they have Mitch McConnell in there. They've got Nancy Pelosi. It's a kingdom. It's decorated like a kingdom, right? It's decorated
yes,
like a kingdom.
Absolutely, correct.
And, you know, who the monarchs are and what the, mm-hmm. you know, the fiefdom is like. And so, yes, it's very political. Although now they do write their messages much more in fine print. It used to be much more bold in the
so
last couple of years.
There were less things that they were saying before.
Yes.
They're saying more things. Now.
More things in little print before they were saying less things in bigger print.
Got it.
It was the last display, I believe, was the one percenters. It was all about being, you know, mm-hmm. and everything was sort of doom and gloom and everybody has masks and big wads of money.
Again, exactly what I want in an ice cream store. It's exactly what I want to think about.
And then it has that big spinning wheel, right? So like now it's and right now it fits with the theme without being political.
Like, oh, got it.
Which is nice because you know
that
how much
nice, yeah.
Declan likes that to spin that around and around.
Well, and their ice cream is amazing.
It really isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's quite good.
And they'll give you free samples of everything. You could fill up on samples.
Yes. And then, but then you would feel bad if you just...
How bad? No, yes, you'd feel bad. Yes, right. You didn't pay for anything.
If you went in and then were never to return again, maybe you could get away with taking all their samples.
It's a one-time sample theft?
Today, yes. Yeah. And today was the first time I used their public restroom. I did not realize...
Oh, I've been back there.
That's also very well painted.
Yes.
I did not realize
I make sure
that.
To gauge the bathroom at any place that I go to, any local... Because that says a lot.
It does.
Says more than the food or anything else.
What I agree their bathroom with you looks like. Yeah. 100%. Mm-hmm. If they care about their bathrooms, they care about their food. Right. That sounds weird.
It is. But before I eat the food, I want to see the bathroom. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see the kitchen. Mm-hmm. I just need to see the bathroom.
You know who has a really nice bathroom?
Who?
Knife and Tine.
Oh.
They have a lovely bathroom.
Is it lovely?
Yes.
Does it smell wonderful, too? Do
it
they
does.
Have like potpourris?
Yes.
Man,
it's
then I
well
bet their
lit.
Food is amazing.
Their food is really good.
Oh, I've had some of it. Yes, it's
yes.
amazing.
Kamahache, the Japanese restaurant that I go to on Wells. Mm-hmm. Fabulous bathroom.
Good.
Please call us at 312-981-7200. Tell us where your favorite bathrooms are.
Please. Would you feel comfortable eating in a bathroom of any restaurant? Because if you do, that's A+.
That's an amazing bathroom.
Yeah, it sure is.
I've never been to one of those bathrooms that has a two-way mirror. Have you heard of those places?
They're like, you can look at yourself?
You can look at the people outside.
That's
and
weird.
And it seems like they can see you, but they can't. But you can see out.
I would never be able to pee.
Rob, have you ever heard of this?
Yeah, I have.
Where? Have you seen it? Have you been?
They had something similar at a club called,
it's a club.
Oh my goodness, mm-hmm. It's up in Montreal, it's on Crescent Street, mm-hmm. Newtown. Yeah, it was Jacques Villeneuve's place.
Okay.
And it's a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, isn't it?
I'm with Craig. I don't know if it's tough to pee.
Because you even though you know they can't see you looking at other people while you're trying to relieve yourself.
Yeah. Right.
Who wanted
stress
that?
Inducing.
Who put this in because was there a demand?
It's really funny.
I really need to see all the people around me. The guy knocking on the door who's waiting for me to get out.
Is it a public, like a full public bathroom, or is it an individual bathroom? Rob?
No, it was exclusive to the club, so you know you had to be inside the club in order to partake in the bathroom. But what was weird about it is that you could see there was windows outside, but then you could also see into the ladies' restroom.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, there was kind of like a crossover sort of thing going on.
Wow. But like, they're doing their makeup?
Kind of a look through, you know.
That is weird.
It was weird.
Was it supposed to be sort of titillating? Like, are you supposed to be excited by that?
I don't know. I mean, for me, it was a concentration sort of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know.
So. Oh, 312-981-7200. I know there's one in Chicago. I've heard of this, and I just can't remember where it is. Yes.
I'm never going to this place.
Well,
Unless the bathroom's super clean, then I might at least go.
Was it super clean, Rob?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it was, right. yeah, it was mean, yeah,
immaculate.
They were clean.
There you go. Good.
Without a doubt, yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of dirty, we're going to talk about the red light cameras coming up after this. And we've got the parking ticket geek on the line with us to talk about. There have been some weird changes, a little bit of news about that, Rob. And we want to talk about that in just a moment. 720 WGN. It's pretty late. So a few months ago, we found out that some of the red light cameras might have been something a little wonky, maybe some questionable tickets being issued. And then the city of Chicago said that they would reimburse some people, but not all of them. I don't really know what's going on. And it all sounds a little fishy. And now it seems that there were that the yellow light, the time that the yellow light gives you to get through the intersection. I don't know. They changed it and they didn't tell us. And there have been 77,000 more tickets that have been issued as a result of the change that would not have been there before. And you know what? Let's talk to somebody who knows more than we do. The parking ticket geek is on, a regular of the Nick DiCilio show. What happened? What's going on? I don't understand.
Oh, gee, there's so much going on right now with this thing. I mean, it's really quite incredible. I'll try to recap it as quickly, and I'll try to do it in a coherent way.
So, yes,
there's
go.
Been all these problems with the program,
right?
The red light camera program, and the Tribune has been spotlighting a lot of it. David Kidwell, who's just been a bulldog on this, exposed this bribery scandal with Redflex, who was the vendor for 11 years, and that led to the Tribune doing this huge investigation where they took 4 million tickets over the course of 10 years. And they looked at them. They found these mysterious spikes in enforcement at about 12 or 13 locations. And mm-hmm. they would just, these all of a sudden there would be an explosion of ticketing going on, and then it'd stop after like a week or a few days or a month. And they asked the city, said, hey, what's going on with this? And the city couldn't explain it, which I think is the actual worst problem.
Right. That
sounds
like
it. They had no Right. They don't know what's going on with their own program. They were allowing Red Flex to run it. Red Flex wasn't doing what they were supposed to do, which is alert the city when these issues would happen. So the Inspector General was in the midst of a investigation about all this stuff going on. In the meantime, I had reported at the expired meter and at DNA Info about how there's been this rash of red light camera tickets that were coming in under 3 seconds of yellow light time. So let me step back and explain that.
Okay.
When you're driving and you hit a traffic light, you're supposed to have, at the bare minimum, and this is a federal standard, 3 seconds of yellow. And it ranges, it can range from 3 to 6 seconds. It's up to the city to make the determination on what's the safest yellow light time.
Okay.
So in the city, we have the very lowest possible yellow light times. There are studies that show that when you extend yellow light time, you have safer intersections because it allows drivers to get through. But that's kind of an aside. So what happens is there's a local person called the Red Light Doctor he helps people fight their tickets. And he started seeing all these tickets that said 2.9 seconds.
Oh,
and
what?
So he went in to fight a bunch of them, and the city sends 4 lawyers to go against him. And at that hearing, the hearing officer says, "I've been seeing tons of these tickets at 2.9 seconds, and that was the gist of our story, that we said, hey, look, the city recognizes that there's this issue, and the Department of Administrative Hearings is throwing these tickets out." Thursday, the Tribune did a story about that same issue, kind of exploring it a little bit more in depth. And then on Friday, the Inspector General comes out with a report and basically says the city has completely screwed up their management of the system in regards to this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So,
is this the first time they've
been so long-winded, but there's been so much information that's come out. At the same time, the city says, oh, yeah, we were issuing tickets at 2.9 seconds, but we stopped based on the advice of the Inspector General. And by the way, we issued 77,000 tickets at 2.9 seconds, even though it's below the federal standards, and we're not going to do it anymore. Well, that's about $8 million worth of revenue and fines that should never have been issued, at least if you go by what the federal standard is.
Now, when you say federal standard, that's
bad.
When you say federal standard, that means it's just a guideline. They don't have to follow it, apparently, if they don't want to? Is that?
Well, see, yeah, and that's this is an area that I also get confused on, because there's no mechanism from the feds to actually say, hey, City of Chicago, you're breaking the rule.
Right.
The way they've done it in the past, and this really has no teeth because they never do it. They just say, well, hey, if you don't follow the law, we're going to withhold federal funding. But they never really do it.
Okay.
What happens is that you're – when you have a program that's supposed to be about safety, and you start doing things that are the opposite of safety, which is not giving people enough time to get through the intersections,
mm-hmm.
then you start having a problem where people don't believe in your system, right? There's no trust in the fact that the system is actually fair or doing the right thing, and most people really believe that these systems, not only the speed cameras or the red light cameras, but the speed cameras systems are really more about generating revenue and not improving safety.
Absolutely. If they're changing the times on it, then, you know, if it's going down to 2.9 seconds, and let me, am I wrong? If psychologically we need an adjustment period, you know, of that becoming a shorter time, because as it is, people kind of use that as a challenge, don't they, in the city, where if it's yellow, I can make it, right?
Well, you know, as the parking ticket geek, I've had quite a few parking tickets, and unfortunately still get a few of them now. I've never had a red light camera ticket because I'm really careful about making sure that I'm stopping before the red, or kind of jamming on the gas a little and,
right.
You know, getting through the yellow before it turns red. And but, yeah, people, you know, change their behavior based on this. Now, in the suburbs, they generally set their yellow light times at 4 seconds because I'm not sure if there's any reasoning outside that it's always just been done that way. Well, at least even before the red light cameras in Chicago, it was 3 seconds.
Right. Well, and there are stretches of road, like let's say, can I drive out to St. Charles to do Zanies out there?
Yeah.
And because, you know, that's a wider road with a different speed limit, it is, like it's hard for me to adjust how long their yellow lights are. And I'm sure that I make people angry when I start slowing down too soon. You know, because here in the city, you've got to start slowing down when you approach an intersection with a yellow. There, they speed up because it's so long. So it's weird to make that adjustment.
Well, it's actually a kind of a speed trap for suburbanites who come to the city because they are expecting the longer yellow.
Yes.
My father-in-law, you know, had a conniption fit a few years ago when he got a red light camera ticket and said, well, I can't believe it. The yellow light was too short. In reality, it was still theoretically by the federal standard of 3 seconds. It's just shorter than what he's used to in the western suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's one of the problems with the red light camera program, too. It kind of goes after people who are not from the city, you know? It's
yes.
Like it punishes people who come into the city to spend their money, go to restaurants, give us our tax revenue that we like to live on, the city does. And, you know, when you hit people up for $100 here and $50 here, people stop coming.
Yeah,
because
they feel like we're getting them coming.
They don't spend that kind of money.
Yeah, they feel like we're getting them coming and going. You know, whether it's parking tickets or the red light tickets. Now it's speeding. You know, with the cameras in certain school zones, and you know those. I've gotten a couple warnings on those.
Yeah, you got to be careful because they're all over the place, and you got to be really attentive to the signs. And that also too is kind of a scam because where they put these speed cameras, at least the ones that I'm familiar with. They tend to be in areas where are a little bit more open. Maybe there's not a lot of traffic, and you feel comfortable going a little faster. That
yes.
doesn't mean you're driving unsafely. It's just maybe you have a little wider lane where you can go a little faster. And, you know, I have problems with the fact that the speed limit on major thoroughfares in the city is 30 miles an hour. I mean, you have Western Avenue and Ashland Avenue and Irving Park Road and Cicero that are 2 lanes in both directions, sometimes 3 lanes in both directions, and the speed limit is 30 miles an hour, whereas in the suburbs, you'd have roads like that that are up to 45 miles an hour, and they're just as safe.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
But think about this, too. The speed limit, the de facto speed limit in the city of Chicago is 30 miles an hour. That means on one-way streets in residential areas, it's 30 miles an hour, too. And that, to me, is too high, where they should be adjusting speed limits so that you have a little bit higher on these main thoroughfares and then slowing it down on the residential streets. Because the truth about speed cameras is that really kids are not – they say it's about the kids. Well, kids aren't really getting hit or killed – on the main thoroughfares, they're getting hit and hurt and killed on residential streets where they play and live.
Right, where they come up from between parked cars.
Exactly right.
Yes, yes.
Exactly right. And so the speed cameras are really, again, when you start looking at it and you see where the data is, and the Tribune did a report on this a few years ago before the speed cameras went into place, they saw that the accidents involving children are on side streets where you wouldn't be able to put a speed camera.
Right. Are speed bumps effective there, or is that not helpful?
Well, they're certainly slowing me down.
right.
So I do think I think they're when used properly, speed bumps can be good. I have a little problem when, you know, they're every 10 feet or so.
Sure. Yeah, it's not good for our suspension. Yeah, it's a bit much. We've been talking to the parking ticket geek, and he's got the expired meter at DNA. Is it dnainfo.com?
Well, it's two sites. I have my site, which is the expired meter, but I also contribute to DNA Info, where I do I contribute breaking stories, and I do a column called Ask the Geek, which is an advice column mm-hmm. on how to deal with parking tickets and red light camera tickets and driving issues. So people send me like their crazy stories or questions, and I try to answer them like about every 2 weeks. I try to get a column out.
Well, you've really helped us all out tonight, and I thank you for letting us borrow you from the Giglio's show.
And it was a pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Of course. And I'm just shaking my fist, the city of Chicago and Redflex. But thank you.
I am too.
We all should. Everyone right now, raise your fist and just All right. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
You too. Thanks again.
Take care. Bye. 720 WGN. It's Friday night. You're all up pretty late. And And you found us on 720 WGN. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. And I'm joined by producer Craig Collins, who will be taking your calls at 312-981-7200. That's 312-981-7200. You can text us at the same number. Up in traffic, we have Bill Cerones and we have Rob Martier up in news. And again, I want to say hello to our friend Joseph Giannini, who let us know that it was Streeters that has the two-way mirror in the men's bathroom. We don't know what's going on in the women's bathroom. I don't know that it's the same thing because men stand up at the, you know, at the urinal, and that's why they have the mirror there. It's just kind of funny, I guess, for you guys to try.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
Do you
logistically
in the men's room? Do you ever see anyone taking any pictures? Is that something that happens in there?
No,
I'm just wondering.
No one has ever taken a photo in the men's bathroom when I've been in there.
No,
not
just
me and not anybody else.
I will say this, and I try being discreet, but I saw, and I never used it, but it was someone wearing flip flops with thick socks, and it was like all bad fashion stuff. And it was the only time I've ever taken a picture of someone's bad fashion choices. It was under the stall door, and I thought better of myself as soon as I took the picture and got rid of it. And that's kind of what I think we take a lot of pictures that we like, well, I'm going to do something with this. And then you change your mind. And it seems that Snapchat is kind of created for the experience of taking pictures that might be embarrassing or might be something that you would use in a sort of sexual way with somebody that you want to share yourself with. And then it's supposed to disappear, right? How long is it supposed to last?
You can set how much time it lasts for, but all the photos do eventually just get auto-deleted from the person's phone that you sent it to.
Only now, about 100,000 Snapchat photos
not deleted.
Have not been deleted. Nope. That users thought would disappear as soon as they were viewed may have been scooped up by hackers. So there you go. Now, is nothing sacred? Are our naked pictures not? What was
it? Here's the thing. Okay, folks.
Yes.
Stars that have uploaded their nude pictures to the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Idiots who upload their pictures to the cloud. Anything these days, this mm-hmm. is a public service announcement to all of those folks listening out there.
Hold on,
anything
wait.
These days, you ready?
Yes.
Anything these days done electronically,
mm-hmm.
phone, computer,
yes.
laptop,
yes.
I this, I that, smart this, smart that, it is out there forever.
Mm-hmm.
Forever.
How long?
Forever.
Okay.
So if you are dumb enough to take a photo
mm-hmm.
of your privates
mm-hmm.
and upload it to
mm-hmm.
anything,
mm-hmm.
even if there is supposedly a time limit on this thing, it is out there forever.
How long?
So,
what?
Forever.
But
see, he's
but
not
what?
Saying. He's,
no.
Yes,
see,
but what?
Craig, these people
word,
are stupid.
Right, Rob, the word you're using is upload. And the difference about the iCloud or anything like that is that they weren't purposefully putting it anywhere. There was no button you hit on your phone that sent your photo to the iCloud.
But we're doing but.
It was a little bit different. It was much easier for someone who wasn't as knowledgeable with their phone to accidentally have everything go to the cloud. So this wasn't, you know, on purpose in the same way that, say, I take a photo of myself and I put it on Facebook. It's different than that.
They
Craig,
thought
I'm a technical
yes.
idiot. I know nothing about any of
Hold
this
on, let me
stuff.
Write that down too. First of all, forever.
The point I'm making is that if in this day and age,
yes.
nothing is sacred. Period. Just understand that before you engage in this type of behavior.
Correct. I completely agree with you. It's just that some of us who are a little bit more tech savvy do understand where some people could have made a mistake. If you have your iPhone and you take a picture of yourself, a lot of people could have seen that as just the end of the issue. There's no way to hack into it. There's no way to get, you know, if I didn't send it via email or anything else, that it was done. This was a dead issue. But because things like iCloud exist that we all don't fully understand and it's sort of automatic, some people could have been taken for, you know, things that they weren't expecting to be out there. It's different than uploading it is what I mean. There was no intention behind sharing it.
They were putting it out to be consumed by other people. They thought it was privately in a remote location.
Well, they might not have even really totally understood what iCloud was and how it worked. And even people deleted them from their iClouds and they were still accessible. So obviously companies like Apple who run these bigger, you know, areas where we're sending our information had even more knowledge than we do over whether it's deleted or not. People might have assumed that it was gone, you know, I can see where they made the mistake is what I'm trying
Rob,
to say.
Rob, what would you say would be your preferred method of naughty pictures? Just because I think that we all go back to Polaroids. Bob Surratt and I are on the same page on this, and it's not because we've suddenly bought stock in Polaroid, but we believe that maybe that's, I mean, and then it's just like when you die, like maybe your kids find it in your shoebox.
First of all, I don't even want to see myself naked in the mirror, let alone a picture of my naked self.
Okay.
So,
but others who do enjoy partaking in such activities, which is, you know, been around since we have been able to put color to paper.
Right. That's fine. Again,
and charcoal to wall.
You just have to understand. I prefer the traditional method. Get a magazine. You know what I'm talking about?
Strangers. Nothing personal. Keep it all third party.
I'm telling you because it's just it's beginning to get a little tiresome of hearing these celebrities and everybody else saying, "Well, I didn't know."
Now I'm surprised at how many kids are admitting to taking nude photos of themselves, and that's the saddest thing to me, because Snapchat is the kind of thing that teenagers and young folks are using, and I think Ted Novak has said at some point about the next 10, 15 years, it's not going to make any difference.
Yeah.
Nudity is not going to be a big deal to anybody.
Well, there have been a couple stories out that say one-third of teenagers sexed at some point, one-third of them do partake in some kind of behavior like that, mm-hmm. and obviously it has no correlation. I think there was a study that's...
Hold on a second.
Sorry.
We have young people. No. It's part of the conversation because I want to ask these guys. There's young... Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey. So do you guys sages? I'm going to guess between 15 and 18.
13.
19.
No. You're 13?
No, we're 20.
No. I need you to go outside and card these young men right now. You guys never send any pictures of your naughty parts, do you?
No.
I don't believe any of you.
That's gross balls.
No one... That's gross balls. That's okay to put on the air, isn't it? Gross balls? I think that's okay. I think that's it. Totally. The FCC has not made any rulings on the word gross balls.
There's been no specificity to gross balls, no.
It's completely acceptable. No, see, and no one can see you. We can only hear you. I won't ask for any of your names. Just by a show of hands, how many of you have sent a picture of a naughty part? There you go. Okay. So and the rest of you are lying. But he's the only honest one. How many of you, by show of hands, have received a picture of a girl's naughty parts? So, oh, wow. Wait a minute. No one's listening. I mean, I hope people are listening. So you're saying you've sent one, not the rest of you, but you all have received pictures of girls' naughty parts.
Yeah.
See, why is that? That doesn't seem fair. Get your stuff done. What am I encouraging? I have no idea. Why are girls sending? Why do girls send you guys pictures? Do you know? I mean, like, do they think that they're going to turn that on? We'll see right now. All right, bye, boys. I don't know if you can hear that sound behind me, but it's the sound of scooped ice. About to prepare some cocktails. We have Nikki. Is it Nikki? Is Crimson your last name, or is that your screen name for? It's your screen name. So Nikki, Nicole from Knife and Tine, and Carissa Schaefer, from the proprietor and all-around awesome woman, is in studio. They're here to celebrate Knife and Tine's four-month anniversary. We're at four, right? This is the four-month anniversary. And they've brought food. They've brought cocktails. They're going to tell us about a fall cocktail that Nikki has it created. She you can go ahead and make noise. It's part of the. Look, you're trying not to make noise. You're so sweet. We were blessed to blessed. I said blessed. Sometimes you get blessings in your life, and I don't even know why. But Carissa started listening to our show. I mean, I just in the middle of the night. Not why. I'm flattered.
Yeah, don't say that. It's because it's an awesome radio show.
Thank you. But it was. But I mean, it was serendipity that we felt we kind of fell in love with each other a little bit.
Aww.
You fell in love with the show. I fell in love with the restaurant. It was a meet cute.
Yeah.
It was
a beautiful radio. Radio meet cute.
And we had them on the first time with our the Chicago, what was it, the karaoke, live band karaoke,
yes. Mm-hmm. And they even sang. Did they sing?
Yes, she sang B-52s with Ted Novak.
That is the type of guest you want on the show. That mm-hmm. comes in and then there's a live band karaoke and all right, I'll sing a song.
All right, fine, I'll sing. Yeah. Yes. Well, I think I actually volunteered because she made the mistake of saying that she had done theater, I believe. And show choir. She'd been in show choir. So
mistake. Don't ever tell us that.
Don't ever say mm-mm. No, because then we will put a microphone.
And get a whole band.
And get a whole band right behind you.
Yep.
That is happening. So they are putting together cocktails. So, but there's like, I'll describe what's going on for those of you who aren't watching us live streaming on WGNradio.com. There's a camera, Nikki. There's a camera there. There's a camera. How many cameras do we have? Those two?
There are three cameras.
Okay. And then there's another. Where's the third camera?
There's somewhere.
One, two, three.
There's somewhere.
One, two.
Around.
All right. Text us at 312-981-7200. Tell us where the third camera is. Is that it right there? Is that
Yeah, it's probably it. Yep, that's it. That's absolutely
it. I don't know what angle. See, now I kind of have a, like, I have a high, like, hairline.
Uh-huh.
So now I have to see what that angle looks like because.
And do you want to just wear a hat all the time?
No,
is that what you're saying?
I don't want to wear a hat. I need to get my hair cut around my headphones. I need to have it set.
Next time you get a haircut, please bring your headphones in with you.
Yes, I will do that.
Just cut it right around here. Make sure to,
make sure that, what is going on in this cup? This looks amazing.
That is a lot of
stuff
happening.
Craig is a little bit concerned for the safety of the show. He's not sure
how
the rest of this is going to go. Oh my goodness gracious. This might make me swear like those teenage boys that were outside of our studio.
Yeah,
with
those guys.
Skateboards.
Explain it, Patty. What is it? What are you holding?
I'm holding a cup with it's purple, and I'm not sure what kind of fruit is on here. So now, Nikki, you have the microphone, and then Carissa, when you have a moment, are you bringing that to Craig?
Yes, cool. Yeah, that's more important.
So, Nikki, I'm going to have you get up in the microphone because the rest of the drinks can wait till later. You don't have to make
yes,
them all now.
Because
just me and Craig and yourselves are the most important. What have you made for us?
Okay, so this is actually our bartender Roy's recipe. We are calling it our spice sangria.
What is happening to my nose? It smells amazing. Okay, it's spice sangria. Okay.
Spiced sangria with a D at the end, at spiced. We're like, not spicy, spiced. And
I just got happy.
Me too.
It's star anise, allspice, fig, pear, apple, orange, grapes. And we're playing around with a couple different red wines. So.
Okay.
I'll just say red wine for now.
Red wine for now.
Well,
and
I want to decide between the Shiraz, but I think we're going to stick with that one.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Well, because Shiraz has a little bit more of a fruity flavor to it. Is that?
Mm-hmm.
Is it? And not that obviously wines are made from grapes, so inherently a fruity flavor. But there's something about Shiraz that has a different note to it.
Oh yeah.
So I think that Shiraz, that sounds like it would go well in a sangria of this type.
Yeah, and the whole point behind this cocktail specifically is that I think a lot of times when people think of sangria, they think of, like, you know, a cheaper kind of sangria. You get in a big pitcher. They use whatever wine they can find, cheap wine, throw a lot of sugar in there, and then random.
He got nervous because he wasn't sure if you were going to say, we just had someone cuss on the street.
And
throw a lot of
I may earlier in the week have said something close to that word, so super sensitive to it.
We've all been flinching at the sound.
I promise I won't cuss.
You never know.
This is your fourth time on the show, and I know that you won't. And we know that Craig did not either. It's in the air. Can I tell you a secret? Don't tell other people of Spanish descent, because I'm Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some Spanish lineage. I'm not a fan of sangria in general because of what you're talking about. People just seem to use really cheap wines.
Mm-hmm.
Even in restaurants that has like that, it just doesn't taste right. This is wonderful. This seems deliberate. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes.
Because I think a lot of times, and I've even worked at restaurants in the past where it's like, oh, okay, well, we'll just get in a case of crappy wine and then we'll just put a ton of sugar in there and just whatever.
Yes.
And it's cheap and we'll just sell it. But like this was, like you said, it's deliberate.
Yeah.
So like
it's got
we tried to take, like, you know what I mean? Like when you think of fall and you want to be, you know, cozy, and it's got a lot of like the flavors and the spices that, you know, even like hints of like cinnamon and figs, like that's not normally in sangria.
No.
And it's not super sweet either.
It's not. And it is, you don't usually smell a drink before you start tasting it. And this one you do. And, and that's a, kind of a unique thing, at least. Or maybe I'm not smelling other drinks. maybe I'm doing a lot of inhaling when Knife and Time is in the studio. I'm like, what have you brought me? I have to take it all in. And so Nikki, we met Nikki last time. Craig and you did not have a chance to meet last time, but she, say hello and then we'll take a break. Nikki was hired when the restaurant opened, and so they've kind of grown up together as Knife and Tine is celebrating their fourth anniversary. More with Knife and Tine in a little bit. You're listening 720 WGN Pretty Late with Patty Baskin.
Thank you.
something wonderful and different for the Pretty Late Show. That music is by the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble, and that was Invincible Summer. We'll be hearing some live music from them in studio, in the Allstate Showcase studio. People are stopping on Michigan Avenue, and after midnight, we can't turn the outside speakers on, so they won't be able. You'll have to listen on your phone. Oh, I can't even tell them to listen on their phones. And joining us in the studio is the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble. And we also have Carissa Schaefer and Nikki from Knife and Tyne celebrating their fourth anniversary. Carissa, how is it going? Because we met you in your first month as you were opening the doors in this really lovely restaurant on Fullerton. 1416 Fullerton?
1417.
1417. Yeah. That was one door. Don't go across the street. I don't know. There's like a condo over there or something.
Salon. Yeah.
Salon. Do you get your hair done there?
I do.
Do you really?
Well, yeah, because I don't have any time, so I just have to run across the street
right
as quickly as possible.
Do it now.
Yeah. What am I going to do?
Well, they do a wonderful job.
Well, thank you.
And how is it going at the restaurant?
It's going awesome. Things are really, really going well. Ton of regulars. We keep getting busier and busier. We're getting a ton of phone calls for like holiday parties and such, so like that's starting, so it's great.
It's the perfect place for a holiday party because it's cozy without feeling too formal. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because
what we're going for.
Right. Well, we talked about that the first time you were on, was that your restaurant has this, it's American, traditional American food in a sort of upscale, inviting way.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, I'll take that. And how should we give away, as the bartender who's been there for a bit, and we're giving away a $50 card, we'll have to think of a way to give away this $50 gift card. I don't know if we do a trivia thing. Yeah, I don't know. It's a little bit. We'll have to think of something before you guys. We've got time. Because you're making another cocktail.
Before. Yeah.
Oh, yes, we are.
All the musicians are like, what time is happy hour? I don't know. I have to take a count. Craig, can you do a count for me? Let me know how many musicians we have in studio.
Yep. Real quick. A whole bunch.
A whole bunch. That, sir, does not look like a clarinet. Is that a clarinet? Because I feel like you're cheating.
It is. It's a contrabass clarinet.
A contrabass clarinet. Yes. I looked that up during the break. I feel like there's going to be a test.
Really,
there you go.
Patty, last week you asked me for a clarinet. I think this suffices. Did I get enough?
I believe that you have, in spades,
cool.
have brought
Good.
Us
Wonderful.
Clarinets.
Good. All bunch of kinds of clarinets.
So I will explain to everyone in the studio. Last week we had a wonderful band on. We had the Maxwell Collective. I have to remember the name, but it was...
The Sean Maxwell Alliance. They're called the Alliance after Marvel Comics, which is awesome.
It wasn't the Collective? Have we had a collective on our show?
I don't think we've had a collective yet, although this counts as a huge collective.
A huge collective. And two of the musicians had said they started playing when they were like around junior high. Did you, Carissa, ever play any instruments?
I played the flute. I really wanted to play the clarinet, but I just... The reed, and I just couldn't get my life together. I couldn't do it.
Don't feel the pressure just because you're surrounded by clarinets to say that you wanted to.
No, I really did. But I stuck with the flute, and I liked it.
Nikki, any instruments?
Strings. I play the viola.
Wow.
Junior high.
I feel like I missed out. I didn't play anything. I didn't even have a recorder. Nary a recorder in my life. No, nothing. Except for like a really tiny little piano when I was 5 or 6. So that was it for me. So the musicians had started on clarinets, and I've heard that from other people in the studio before, and yet we had not had a single clarinet in the studio. And my dad was a big fan of Glenn Miller's. My father-in-law played the clarinet. We actually inherited two when he passed away. And I said to Craig, I'm like, how come we've never had a clarinet in the studio? And lo and behold, he went out and found the whole ensemble, the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble, and they're going to play for us live in a little bit. But in the meantime, we've gotten some lovely food from Carissa and Nikki and a beverage. Now, what is it? The fall sangria? What are we calling it?
We're calling it spiced sangria. It's Roy's recipe. Mm-hmm. And just to go over again, it's red wine, star anise, allspice, pear, apple, orange, grape, and
fig.
And fig. You really want to hit that fig, don't you?
It's like, so good.
It is. It makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And I get the feeling that Roy has reminded you repeatedly to hit the D on spiced.
Oh, no. So yesterday we actually had a really amazing bar meeting. Mm-hmm. So it was all of us bartenders.
How is any bar meeting not awesome?
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying, right? So it was five of us, and we made about maybe 20 drinks, and we voted on which ones we wanted on the menu.
Okay. When you're up to 20 drinks, okay, because I have judged a Bloody Mary contest before, and I thought I'll be fine, right? Just eat a little bit in between. And I, like, just taking one sip of everything, I'm like, I'm like, which one had tomato juice in it? So how do you handle 20 different drinks when you're trying to figure out what to put on the menu?
She's trying to remember.
Well, we strum. Uh-huh. Or just guy, take small sips.
One guy volunteers to just get hammered. And that's what they do.
Yeah. Everybody was feeling real good at the end of the tasting.
Nice.
That's for sure. But, you know, we don't have, like, a mixologist. Like, I like the bar team to kind of, like, work together mm-hmm. and work as a team and, like, have it be fair. Everybody creates cocktails. They put, you know, their energies into making up a drink. And then we all vote.
Comments, criticism. Mm-hmm. We were, like, tweak. Like, so we even have, like, one drink and there's, like, three versions of it. So it was like we were making fun of our other bartender, Dino. It's like, this is one drink, but this is the third version of it. So that's why there are so many.
At some point, you're like, oh, what was the first one? Give me the first one again. Give me the
most. That's exactly what we were doing.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we were comparing the three same drinks with just different variations. Okay. And we're like, let's sip the first one
or the
third one.
What do you eat? Like white bread in between to cleanse your palate?
What? We had some like family meal after that. We had some rice.
Hi, Chris. I'm really worried about details. It's a menu that we're working on. We're going to catch up more with Carissa and Nikki from Knife and Tyne, and we're going to hear some live music in studio from the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble and talk to them after 12:30. You're listening Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. We are pleased to introduce the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble playing live in studio Mozart's Divertimento. I knew I was going to mess it up. You knew I was going to do it. Divertimento, K166 in E flat. That was amazing. Thank you so much. You were listening to the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble playing Mozart's Divertimento in E-flat. I'm sorry, don't forget K166. And we're going to talk to the musicians in a little bit and hear more music from them. And you go to their Facebook page. They have their own Facebook page, Chicago Clarinet Ensemble. And there's a competition coming up on the 18th of this month. We'll find out more information about their schedule. She's like, yes, I wanted to talk about that. We will make sure. And we'll talk about my first time having a conductor in the studio. And he looks like he's willing you to play a certain way. I want to do that with my producer. I mean, just this way. We could just Thank you so much. That was beautiful. And we look forward to some more music from you in a little bit. We also have in studio with us Nikki, our bartender from our bartender. I feel like you're my bartender.
I am.
The,
she is
the pretty late bartender from Knife and Tyne. And Carissa Schaefer, the proprietor of Knife and Tyne, along with Ryan and
Mike.
Mm-hmm. And your chef, Nate, who has put together some great things on the menu. What are some of the fall specials that you have?
Well, that's what we'll be bringing next time.
Okay.
But we're going to just kind of change up some of the things. Like I said, like our deviled eggs that you just had, mm-hmm. The whole preparation's going to change
memory.
Up.
They're gone.
We're going to put a nice, fall pasta on mm-hmm. the menu, do some different preparations. The horseshoe's going to change up, so we're going to do some different preparations with that short rib.
And let's talk again about a horseshoe. But I know I can't get microphones to everybody in the room right now. How many of you have had a horseshoe? Illinois residents. No, nobody's had a horseshoe. Look at that. Explain what a horseshoe is.
So it's traditionally a dish from Springfield, and it's primarily like French fries, gravy, cheese curds.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like one of those Canadian things. Poutine.
Yeah, kind of like a poutine. Sometimes like a whole hamburger patty on there. I mean, it gets a little wild.
Right.
So our chef is from that area, so wound up making a horseshoe, but now it's like a braised short rib and a potato nest and kale and all sorts of stuff.
And kale florets, the purple
flowering kale.
Flowering kale. De Vermiento. Do you want to give the microphone to somebody? you know what? We're going to take a break, I think, and then figure out where the microphone goes. That sounded wrong. You're listening pretty late with Patty Vasquez at 720 WGN. Sometimes things just sound wrong. You're listening pretty late, and the music you have playing there is Spy the Lark, being played by the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble, and they are live in studio with us, and now the conductor. I don't know if we should... do you give a conductor a microphone? Should John Ye have the microphone? John, you have the mic. Who has the microphone? Oh, no. Was that Rose? Are you Rose? You can have the microphone. Let's give Rose the microphone. Rose Barraza? Am I saying your name correct? Is that up? Let's see.
Is this thing on?
Is this thing on? I know how that feels. I'm going to have you hold it up close to your mouth, though.
Okay.
Kind of like not as close as the clarinet, but almost.
How's that?
Have you played on radio before?
Yes, we have. We did something with Scott Thomas on, what was that radio station?
Probably WBEZ.
WFMT.
Oh, WFMT.
Right.
Well, fine then, so we're not your first. That's okay. You know what? We like to have it come in seasoned for radio experience. This is the most, the largest number of musicians we've had in the studio. And I want to thank you so much. I know it's Friday. It's a little bit late. And you do have a competition coming up on the 18th. Well, tell us a little bit about that.
We do. It's the first competition that we're doing for clarinet ensembles. Mm-hmm. And we have 8 groups coming. We have groups from all over the United States. Plus, we actually have a group coming from Colombia.
Oh,
so
interesting.
So it's free for audience members, or mm-hmm. you could get a ticket at Concert Window for a small fee. But we have a clarinet quartet from Brazil is going to adjudicate it, and it's going to be a really good time.
That sounds so serious. They're going to adjudicate it.
Adjudicate. They're going to judge.
Nice. Wow. Is there going to be like, you know, a defense? There's going to be a lot of.
Not.
Now, how often do you get a chance to rehearse with each other?
We rehearse just as much as we need to for, you know,
before
a concert for a couple weeks, we'll rehearse.
Right.
Or a lot of times we'll do small concerts in schools or mm-hmm. wherever we can, you know, find somewhere to play.
And do you rehearse at Northeastern Illinois University?
We do. We're in residence at Northeastern.
Okay,
Illinois
cool.
University,
I have a fond place in my heart for Northeastern. My mother went to school there, and that's where I went to a lot of childcare. spent a lot of years at the preschool there and the day camp and the pool there and a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
but It's a great place. It's a great university in the middle of the city. We're going to hear some live music again from the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble. Thank you so much for listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and it is my pleasure to introduce again Chicago Clarinet Ensemble. They are going to be playing Chaconne in First Suite in E-flat by Holst. You've been listening to the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble playing Chaconne First Suite in E-flat by Holst. Yes, Craig?
Patty, just to let you know, we're getting a lot of texts. They all say basically the same thing. This sounds great. This sounds amazing. Oh, my God. So fun to hear this on WGN later.
Something
at
night. Different, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
yeah,
a wonderful
it's very
thing.
Different.
And it was really something that came out of a conversation we were having with musicians last week from the Sean Maxwell Alliance. Several of the musicians had started playing when they were in fifth, sixth, seventh grade. And that seems to be common. Now, can you pass the microphone to the woman that said she listens to every show? What's your name?
I'm Jennifer Petkus.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hi.
Thank you. First of all, thank you so much for coming in. And I'm as excited to meet you because you're the one that's listening to all the podcasts. How old were you when you started playing an instrument?
I started really young. I started in third grade.
So in third grade. Yeah. You were ahead of everybody else.
Usually now it's around fourth or fifth grade.
Because it seems like it's for junior high students. I guess they tell you you have to pick an instrument. Was that what
right.
it was like for you
yeah,
in third
and you
grade?
For clarinet, you definitely need your top two teeth to be in, no baby teeth allowed. So
because otherwise they can sort of push out.
Yeah, if you lose your front teeth because we have to put our front teeth on the mouthpiece, and if you don't have them, then
and it can affect play. The way they grow in too.
Right, exactly.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up in Lyons.
In Lyons,
yeah.
And so did you pick the clarinet, or was it something that was given to you?
I actually wanted to play the flute. I know, it's awful.
You two need to switch.
I know.
Carissa had said that she wanted to play
I couldn't blow into it, and so I said, you should play the clarinet, and I had no idea what it was, but I said, okay, I'll play the clarinet, and here I am today. So.
And when you were when you played the clarinet, did you go and listen to other musicians throughout musical history?
Yeah. And the Chicago Symphony was a huge influence.
Oh, sure. And who are some of your favorites?
Clarinet players. Well, of course, John Ye, who happens to be here today.
John Ye, you're getting the microphone back, John. Okay. Now, do you prefer
Thanks,
John Ye or Mr. Ye or?
You can call me John.
I can call you John. I just wanted to tell you, I don't know if you are familiar with sign language, but I have never watched very closely a conductor. But there's a movement that you make like this that is actually the sign for music for sign language.
Yes.
Yeah, just wanted to
I
tell
didn't
you.
Know that.
Yeah, it's one hand over the other, but this
very,
is a sign.
Very
yeah,
musical.
Exactly.
Musical,
it makes
gesture.
Sense. Yeah. And what does that one mean when you do is that any
I mean to make it smooth and to make it connected.
Smooth and connected. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's those cuz it does at some point seem like you're throwing your intentions at them. because the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, I've only seen it from afar, so I've never actually been so close to a conductor. Have you been this close to a conductor ever, Nikki or Carissa? No, it's intense.
I have to tell you, I'm not a conductor and I don't play one on TV. I'm a clarinet player that happens to like working with other clarinet players.
And they listen to you, apparently. Is he all right to
well,
listen
that's
to?
Good.
Or do you just like shake him off? Are you like, are you on, it's like being on first base and you're like, no, I'm sliding. I'm not totally. I'm
Sometimes
not.
They do that.
Now tell us a little bit about this competition you have coming up on the 18th.
So this is for ensembles of clarinets that enter a competition and all play, and they will have a group from Brazil judging them,
okay.
And then they'll pick a winner. And these are mostly college ensembles and from all over the country.
And when they judge, what kind of criteria? I mean, obviously, there's, you know, they know what something's supposed to sound like, but then are there other categories that
they're
judged on?
They have to present the music well. They have mm-hmm. to have various different qualities that we look for, good rhythm,
mm-hmm.
good intonation, good ensemble,
okay.
playing well together, and they have to connect with the listener.
Oh, see, and that's something that we kind of don't think of, is connecting with the listener. We just kind of, I think people who don't, I love music, but I'm
sure.
not, I don't know music very well. As you can tell, I'm like, what was that again?
No,
was that
you Chicago? Know music very well.
Well, I enjoy listening
that's
to music of all kinds.
What it's all about.
Exactly. And so when you say connect, is that it's sort of, there is sort of an energy behind the way music is played.
Totally. You have to tell the story. You mm-hmm. have to get the story across. You have to make contact with your listener because it's all about communication.
So it's more than just the mechanical aspect of it.
It is.
And what other kind of events do you guys play for? What else do you have coming up?
We have concerts.
Mm-hmm.
When's our next concert, Rose? Here, I'll.
We're just passing the mic here. I'm right in the middle.
I'm right here.
This is.
She knows all the nuts and bolts.
This is our first time with a wireless microphone in the studio. There's all kinds of great things happening tonight. Hey, Rose, what else do you have coming up after
our
competition?
Concert is
going to be in March, and that's called Fresh Clarinet. And that is a concert of all new music or and or music that was composed for the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble.
Okay, and that and that's Leo that does
yes,
the composing.
Leo, we will be premiering a new piece by Leo Schwartz, who's here, of course.
He's gave us the peace signal. He's like, I'm going to stand over here. He wouldn't even sit down earlier. Do you want to use the microphone, Leo?
Come talk to me.
I'll talk. You know what? We'll take a break here in just a moment. And then I do want to take a caller's at 312-981-7200. Knife and Tyne is in studio. Excuse me. I'm all choked up about the musicians in the studio. Knife and Tyne is in studio. We have Nikki and Carissa. Carissa has brought us a $50 gift card for Knife and Tyne. They're at 1417 North Fullerton Avenue. Give us a call and tell us what anniversary are they celebrating. If you've been listening the whole show, then you'll know which celebration they are here for. That's 312-981-7200. You're listening Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. We're enjoying the music of Chicago Clarinet Ensemble, and that was their rendition? Do I say rendition? How do I say that?
Yes.
Your interpretation, your playing of La Comparsa. And we actually want to take one of our callers right now who wanted to let us know. They know the answer to my question. What are Knife and Tyne celebrating in studio for a $50 gift card? Terry, what's your answer? Terry?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi there.
You're our caller. Yes.
I think they're celebrating their fourth anniversary.
Their fourth what? That's a question mark on the show. Their fourth? It's okay. You're going to win
fourth anniversary of when they opened?
The four-month anniversary, but that's okay. We're giving it to you because you said the fourth, and that's kind of like 4 months.
Right.
Thank you so much for listening. Do you live in the city?
I know. I live in the burbs, but we love to eat in the city.
Oh, good, because you're going to love Knife and Tyne. They have a wonderful menu, and you've got a $50 gift card coming to you. Craig will take your information. And again, Knife and Tyne is at 1417 Fullerton Avenue. Is that North Fullerton Avenue?
West.
West, because you know why? It runs east-west. That's probably why they made it west like that. All right, Terry, thank you so much for calling. And
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And yeah, so that works out that way. I knew that, and yet I went the wrong way on that. All right, that's okay. What drew you to the Lincoln Park neighborhood to open your restaurant? Because that's kind of, you know, it can be kind of dicey as far as like the how expensive it is and the competition.
Yeah, you know, I worked in Lincoln Park prior to that. I worked at Perennial Verant Restaurant over in the Hotel Lincoln and kind of fell in love with the neighborhood, just kind of the customers that I would see and got very involved in the Chamber of Commerce. So they sort of helped me out. Finding spots, and the Lincoln Park Chamber is awesome.
So they're very encouraging for new businesses to open?
Extremely.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's kind of neat. And Nikki, what has it been like for you working in Lincoln Park? Because it's such a trendy area, but then there's also a lot of students from DePaul. Is it kind of a fun group that you get there?
Knife and Tyne is very unique to Lincoln Park, I think. I don't know too many restaurants in Lincoln Park in itself, but we're, as you mentioned before, trying to bring something really cool yet approachable to Lincoln Park, and it's something different in that neighborhood. So, like, I feel like Knife and Tyne is a little bit more cool. Like, if it were in Logan Square, I feel like, I don't know.
No, that makes sense.
Like, with the really cool, refined food like that would be really well in Logan Square. So it's cool seeing this kind of restaurant in Lincoln Park.
So you're saying it's a restaurant that you would might find in a Wicker Park, Logan Square area, but in Lincoln Park, sort of accessible to a different audience.
Yes, and that's why we're trying to make it approachable. So
cool.
I think it's really cool.
Do you like that description, Carissa?
Yeah, I'll take it.
I
mean, I think probably the best part too is that we get such a great clientele because it's every table is someone totally different.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, where they're coming from, what they do, how old they are. I mean, it's.
And parking's not too bad around there. I was surprised by that because.
I don't understand how we got on a street where there's no meters and it's all just free street parking.
Shush. Quiet, they'll find you. What are you doing? I'm just kidding. That's good to know. Now, we also have in studio with us the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble, and they've been playing wonderful music for us. And we have their in-residence composer, Leo? Composer in residence. Hold on, let me turn this on for you. Composer in residence.
Composer in residence, yeah.
And I said in-residence composer. Wait, that's all.
That's right.
And
I'll live wherever.
And where are you from originally? You look surprised. I wasn't expecting it. They asked me earlier if I would ask.
I grew up in Texas, and I moved here in 86.
Okay. Well, you sound like you didn't want to tell us you're from Texas. Are you distancing yourself?
Yeah, I am. I'm distancing. I'm going to get a lot of hate mail for that.
No, I mean, I think
you'll get a lot.
I think it's okay to fall in love with a new place.
I love
you
Chicago.
Know?
I came here in the '80s with Evita, and I fell in love with the place.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So you were with a. Where was Evita? Where was that being performed?
At the Erie Crown.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And then you just didn't leave.
Well, I said this is where I want to live.
It must have been spring or summer.
Yes.
I say that from the bottom of my heart. I know that nobody comes here in January and goes, I've got to stay here. This is this bitter cold is something I can't find anywhere else. What was that first winter like for you, Leo? Do you remember?
It was cold. It was cold. But I had gone to school in Rochester, so which
okay.
is even worse than Chicago.
Okay.
The weather, yeah.
Right. And so now how long have you been writing music since you were – I mean, I don't know when someone begins writing music.
Well, I'm actually a horn player by training, but uh-huh. I started composing about 15 years ago.
Okay.
Because I gave up playing the horn.
You just gave it up?
Yeah.
Walked away?
I walked away.
Did you leave it on the L platform somewhere?
We're going to turn it into a lamp.
Okay. And when you say horn player, I mean that
French horn.
Thank
right.
you, because I just imagine a lot of like the one at Arlington Racetrack or something. is that more of a trumpet? What is that?
Me and the ponies. It's kind of a herald trumpet. I think that's what
okay.
those are. Yeah.
Okay. So you played the French horn. That's that kind of roundish.
Curly. You stick your hand in the bell, and yeah.
And was that the first thing that you played?
I was.
Okay.
It was.
And you're the first person that I've ever met that was the first instrument that they played. So this
it's just I fell in love with it. It's a beautiful instrument.
It is. I agree. I remember musicians came to my school. I went to Onahan on the northwest side, and I remember they had some. They showed us all the different parts. You know, with the saxophone and the clarinet, and I remember the French horn being one of the more interesting things. I don't play any. I don't know. I don't have an ear for music either.
Now, do I have to get a whole bunch of French horns in studio? Is that what you're telling me now, Patty?
There's some amazing horn players in Chicago.
Is there a horn player ensemble? Is there
Oh, I'm sure. Yes, there is.
A French horn ensemble?
Yes, yes, there is.
I know what you have to do next. Well, that was... Who asked Craig, how did you find us? Who was the one that asked Craig? Was that you, Rose? Yeah, she seemed so surprised, like you were hiding or something. Do you not expect people to find you?
Well, it's not like clarinets are the really cool thing.
You are now.
Yeah, we're going to be now. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I guess someone texted and wanted you to play the cantina from Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. That's our good friend Andy Blanco from Van Doren.
Okay.
Van Doren are actually are very good. They're our corporate sponsor. They're our good friends. And Andy's a jazzer, so he's used to taking requests, but we are not.
You're not.
So he's kind of poking fun at us.
That was a very nice way of saying we're not playing that no matter how many people text us. That's and now do people ever call and like want to hire you for like private engagements for the clarinet and
not yet, around. But maybe now.
I'm saying that's what I was wondering. You know,
no, we haven't. I mean, we could. We have so much repertoire that we would love to do that. But so far, no, we haven't. We haven't gone down that avenue. Are you interested?
I know. I'm trying to think of something, some way to hire you, Craig. We got like the Christmas party for WGN or something.
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah. From the 773, what if I give you $20 in the tip jar for the play the cantina?
$20 in the tip jar for the cantina.
More people are jumping on the bandwagon.
Oh dear. Now, yeah, I think with the bid much higher than that. I think the bidding starts at how many people do we have? It's $20 per person.
This is a 773, and they got to get all the way down here. $20 is a good effort. Still.
Oh no, it's all. We'll take their word for it.
Okay, got it.
They're good for it. So it's $20 a musician would that be? No, she's like, no, let's not bid my players.
Well,
how many of you know how to play the Star Wars cantina music? None of them. No, you know what? They all do, and they're not going to say yes just to not be put on the spot for that. Now, Carissa, do you guys ever have musicians in the restaurant? Not that I'm putting any pressure. I'm not saying you have to hire the Chicago clarinet ensemble.
We haven't yet, but I mean, that's not to say that we wouldn't.
I'm trying to think of where they would fit. Right? Because it's a cozy...
I mean, you just clear out some tables.
Yeah. I mean, what's the minimum number of players that you would have for, like, a gathering? Like a quartet or something?
Quartet is probably the smallest that mm-hmm. we would ever do. We do a lot of quartets, but we've had as many as 40 people.
40? Wow. 40, can we get 40 in there? On the sidewalk,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, one room.
All right, for my birthday, let's figure out how to make that happen. Let's get some funds together for my birthday party at Knife and Tyne with the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble. I've got this all figured out.
Usually what we do for our concerts are we'll have some small groups like quartets and quintets, mm-hmm. and then we always have a big group, and then we have a guest artist like John Yeh, of course, mm-hmm. from the Chicago Symphony, was our first guest artist. And so we've kept that model right from the beginning.
Okay.
So we've had really you know, great people like John Yeh and Stanley Drucker, Jorge Mantilla. So
these are all names that people should know.
Yeah,
I don't know them, but
he knows John Brusier. He's the assistant principal of the Chicago Symphony,
and there you go.
Flat, so he's and he you know really donates his time for us, and we love him.
Do we know what the what that noise is? Is that oh, that's you. I just wasn't sure. I'm like, is there
a
vent?
There's a clicking happening. Something's
is there a loose vent in the studio? I don't know what's happening.
He wants to play the Star Wars Cantina song.
Is that what it is? You have just outed yourself as the person who's going to play the Cantina song. Now, does he have a mic? Here, let's hand the microphone over to this gentleman who with a clicking noise.
Wait till you hear his voice.
Look out. Now we have to get to his voice. Yes. Yeah. Hello, sir. He said hi. That's all I get from his voice. Now you have a bass oboe, a bass clarinet.
Bass clarinet, yeah.
Oh wow, there you go. Thank you very much. He does have a beautiful voice. Okay, so let me ask you about that. That's a larger. I've never noticed before, and I probably would have never guessed that was also a clarinet. What was the first instrument you played, sir?
Clarinet.
A clarinet. What's your name?
Scott Thomas.
Scott, he's so proper. Scott Thomas. I live at 3384 North Winchester Road. When did you progress to the bass oboe? The bass. Why do I keep wanting to say oboe? Does anybody know why it's stuck in my head? No reason. Okay, the bass clarinet.
When did I start bass?
Yes.
Oh boy, probably about 40 years ago.
Okay. He's like, see, I look around. Does anybody else know how long it's been? Where are you from originally?
I grew up in the Elmhurst Bensonville area.
Okay.
And I live in Naperville now.
And how did you find the ensemble?
They found me. I've been friends with David Tuttle for a long time, and Rose is his partner.
Okay.
And so they asked me to come play wife now, yes.
he's like, don't get that wrong. It's my wife. She's my wife. Rose is my wife. My wife. She's definitely my wife.
Wife and partner.
He's in the corner just leaning against the wall. Get it right.
And so they've known me for a long time, and they invited me to come play one time, and
excellent.
Well,
so and let me find out about it. Can you pass the microphone
Certainly.
Over to this even larger bass clarinet? Now, you told me earlier the name. What's your name first?
My name's Matt Bordish.
Matt, and what's this one called again?
This is a contrabass clarinet.
And it looks like my plumber made a mistake. And the water is definitely not going to get to the faucet. It's just going to go in a circle. So explain a little bit to me why how this makes a different sound than everybody else's.
So basically it's twice the length of a bass clarinet.
Okay.
More or less.
And then it's wrapped around.
Yeah. So it's about, I think, 10, 11 feet.
Okay.
Like
wow.
And wrapped around twice. So it's about 3.5 feet tall.
Okay.
In this rap.
But okay, that's amazing. And the music you guys made was just really beautiful and a unique experience for our listeners. And I want to thank you so much for joining us. And we'd love to have you back. Is maybe a Christmas? Christmas? Let's do a Christmas. Oh, I have more. He's like, I'm just so excited. So for Christmas, we'll arrange something so we can have you back in studio. The guy in the corner, what's your name? We could give him the microphone. Jim?
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm getting sleepy.
Wow. Yeah, you want to talk to me? Because this is it for me. I've hit my max. You know why? It's pretty late. Well, I want to thank the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble for joining us. And you can find them on Facebook. And they have a competition coming up on the 18th of October. There'll be musicians from all over the world. And they'll be adjudicated by Brazil, apparently. by which?
Omega Clarinet Quartet.
The Omega Clarinet Quartet. And is there a website people can find out more information?
ChicagoClarinetEnsemble.org.
So ChicagoClarinetEnsemble.org. And also, you know, there's just so much going on in music in Chicago, and we're so happy to have highlighted this your group, and we look forward to seeing you in December.
Thank you for having
us. My pleasure. Thank you once again. Yeah. I don't know. Do you woo for clarinet players? I don't know.
Always.
Okay. It's... Chicago Clarinet Ensemble, and that's Canciones, and we loved having them in studio. We'll have them back at Christmas time. And we also have in studio with us Carissa Schaefer, the proprietor of Knife and Tine at 1417 West Fullerton Avenue, because it only runs east and west. If it was north, then you're at the wrong location. We also have Nikki, the bartender. I don't think it's her last name, but I'm just... We don't have to. I loved how
the bartender is my last name.
The bartender. Nikki started out working for you. You were not even a bartender before you worked for Knife and Tine.
So no, and
they built
drink,
you from the ground up.
Yes, that's exactly. I started serving when they hired me June 10th, which was 4 months ago. And I've been bartending for about 6 weeks now.
That's
and
wonderful.
The next cocktail that I'm going to make you is actually my first crafted drink on the menu.
Okay. That's your first. It's yours.
Yay, yeah.
Chris is like,
yeah. I'm so happy. Mm-hmm.
Everybody voted.
Everybody. Wow. And do you guys know who made the drink when you're voting on it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we have four bartenders.
I wasn't sure if it's like blind tasting. Right, because y'all know what y'all made.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I got all Southern all that.
Well, we all sit at the bar, and then one goes behind and then makes it and talks about their drink, and then we try it.
Like, you have to defend it, kind of? Like, sort of present it?
You gotta present it.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild. It sounds like, but it sounds like it's party time when you guys are voting on the drinks.
It is.
A little bit.
It gets a little wild.
How often do you vote on the drink specials?
This is our first time that we've done it.
Oh, really?
Because before we opened, we obviously had to create our own cocktails, and now I wanted to get the bartenders involved and have them, you know, be able to put their name on something.
And you're having a lot of fun there, aren't you?
I'm having so much fun. I'm learning a lot. I'm growing so much in this restaurant industry, which is what I want to be a part of.
That's part of why I like this relationship that we have with Pretty Late and Knife and Tine, is that I've worked at many restaurants, I've always come like in the middle of whatever they are in their history, and gotten thrown into a kitchen situation as a server, as a bartender, and I'm fascinated by your story, starting from scratch, with a passion for the kind of food that you have and for the people that you employ, and right down to the detail of the way you've decorated your restaurant. We were talking about bathrooms earlier. I told you when I came to Knife and Tine that I even loved your bathroom. I really do kind of value the way a restaurant keeps their bathrooms clean and the way they decorate it. I know it sounds silly, but
that's absolutely true. Isn't it like a thing that everyone says, like, if you have a dirty bathroom, like, ugh, you want to stay out of the kitchen?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to. I don't want to eat where I don't want to go to the bathroom. I don't know if that makes sense. Wait a minute.
There's some saying about that somewhere.
There's some logic about that. Joseph Giannini of Two Italians Deli and Pizzeria told us that Streeters has a bathroom that has the two-way mirror where you can like see people on the other side. It looks like it's a mirror, but really you can see the people outside the window in the restaurant.
Yeah.
At Streeter. Have you seen that?
Yes, I've been there before. I just remembered that.
Do they have it in the women's bathroom too, or is it just in the men's bathroom?
No, it's like when you're in the bathroom, you can see out, but yeah, it's just the mirror. So the mirror isn't in the bathroom. They're just like walking by and they're like checking their face and doing all this stuff. You can see them.
You can see them stopping while you're going. For the guys, it's by the urinals, I think.
Yeah.
And so they are looking out at people like fixing their makeup.
It's awesome.
It's awesome. But for guys, it's got to be performance anxiety, don't you think? Where they're like, I can't go. It seems like that person is looking at me. Well, speaking of which, we have this article. Now, you're going to be making a drink during the next break, Nikki? And what are you making?
So it's my version of a hot buttered rum.
I'm sorry.
I hope you like. And we're calling it the Fleur de Sel, which is French for flower of the sea, which is also sea salt. So I made a sea salt caramel. And it's mixed with the dark rum, a little bit of sorrel liqueur, which is an allspice liqueur. So it's got a lot of fall flavors, and then hot water.
And so what made you go in that direction with a buttered rum?
So because I've only been bartending for 6 weeks, this is literally how long I've been bartending for, I'm quote unquote cheating by looking at traditional recipes.
Okay.
And the traditional recipe of a hot buttered rum is a tablespoon of butter, a little demerara syrup, which is brown sugar syrup, hot water, and dark rum. And I'm like, that does not sound like it would taste good. Because if you just mix all that up, there's no actual flavor in that. So I made my delicious sea salt caramel that I usually do for my apple pie. I put in the drink, put some dark rum, and it wasn't perfect yet. And everyone helped me.
Tinkered with it?
Yeah, we tinkered with it, and we added some sorrel liqueur.
What's sorrel liqueur?
I can show you the bottle, but it's a liqueur that has like an allspice clove flavor to it.
Okay.
So it rounded out the drink really well.
Nice. All right. So one of the things that we're going to talk about as well, and I don't know if I should introduce it here, because I posted on Facebook this link to Cosmopolitan often gives you advice for positions that would be enjoyable. And actually there's some like in different, like Kama Sutra and things like that. But Cosmopolitan is a little bit, aggressive in their sex advice. sometimes. So actually, I should probably give Craig a chance to play our music to intro what we call the Midnight Tease, even though it's way past midnight. But Cosmopolitan, you know, when I was in high school, I remember they would even talk about like oral gratification.
Oh yeah,
and their description of like the best way to do that. And it was actually how I wrote my first stand up comedy material. Was my mom
from Cosmo?
I called my mom. I had just started doing stand up comedy, and I was trying to figure out what my closing joke should be. And I wanted to, even when I started out, I wanted to be this comedian. I wanted to be a comedian who talked about, you know, the female part of sexuality, because there were so many guys doing stand up and talking about, you know, what they did in bed and stuff. And I wanted to talk about how in high school, I was a virgin all the way through high school, and I dated a boy who would like start tugging on the back of my head. And I would be like, you know, I don't, I know where it is. I wasn't planning on taking a trip down there with my mouth. I don't need a map, right? So I called my mom and I told her that was the joke I wanted to close on. And she was so more, oh my God. By the way, my mom's from Mexico. And she was like, oh, I can't believe you are. And then she hung up on me, right? And so that was, and I was mortified that I just thought I would share with her. This was going to be my first time doing stand-up comedy. This was something I was very passionate about. And then the phone rang a half an hour later. She goes, I know how you can tell this story. Do you remember in Cosmopolitan and they say you should lick it like it's ice cream? You should tell a story about that. So that's how I literally wrote my very first joke in stand-up comedy. It was my mom telling me how to tell an oral gratification joke. And I used different words right there. Let me think if I can use any of them. Not that one. Not that one. No. Fellatio. How's that one? Can I use that one? Yeah. Look at Chris.
Well, don't forget, folks. That's what you get, folks.
Did we not give people enough of a heads up? We'll play that here. We'll play that into the commercial and out of the commercial, and give Nikki a chance to make a cocktail so we can talk about what Cosmopolitan has inspired two artists in New York to do, which made a lot of people kind of do a double take. You're listening Pretty Late, in case it's not obvious. 720 WGN.
For making whoopee. Another year, or maybe less.
What's that music means? Here? We're going to talk about some adult topics. And this one is courtesy of Seven Deadly Mag, which is an online magazine by our very good friend, the founder and editor, Charisma Matarang. And she posted this article about, here, let me tell you, ever get a weird experience from watching two people dry hump each other in flesh-colored onesies?
Don't I always.
And by the way, I didn't know if I could say that word, so I changed it to experience. A weird experience, a weird happy.
You know, we are in safe harbor, which means no matter what we say, we won't get fined. So mm-hmm. It's really just making the management people here upset.
Well,
that we
and
have
listeners,
to worry about.
I mean, there is
and the listeners, yes, because we're respectful.
We straddle that line between obviously that we have a history and a legacy that we want to honor, and there's also a different tone. And I think people are familiar at this point that I have a little bit of a naughtiness to me. It comes from the fact that I was afraid to talk about sex when I was little, and as I got older. And, you know, it was sort of embarrassed that other kids knew more than I did. I actually got picked on when I didn't know stuff. Actually, I didn't know what that was, what a boner was when I was a kid. And so, like, people would tease me about it, not knowing certain, yeah. So when I have a sense of humor about it is because of my discomfort and naivete when I was little. Now I kind of went the other way. And as a WGN radio host, I'm trying to find that middle ground. Yeah. And when stories like this appear, I like to address them.
Well, and we don't even have to call it naughty, because I don't think you're really too naughty. You're just adult.
I'm adult.
A little bit more adult.
Oh, okay.
And the kids are all in bed at 1:20, hopefully. So yeah.
Well, and we don't do this to offend anybody. If it's something that it's only we're like,
I want to offend everyone. Let's find a. We're gonna have clarinets in, and then we're gonna offend everybody.
We run right. The gamut right
any of you
there.
Classical music fans that get offended by adult topics, here
well,
it comes.
I've actually turned the and now I realize there's actually cameras all around me, so I can't
there
actually
is.
Turn this away from anybody. So it looks like I'm looking at a screen with people making love, right? But it's really
good point.
There's nowhere for me to hide this. I don't, you know. So if someone's watching me
like
at WGNRadio.com,
my same problem with researching topics for you here at the station. I mean, my work computer can I hide that stuff? Craig, that's for at home.
So for the 78% of you who say that you don't get turned on by watching two people dry hump each other in flesh colored onesies, there is a one of a kind demonstration looking to put Cosmo's notoriously ambitious sex positions to the test. A couple hit the streets of New York. Because why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want to test that out on the streets of New York in a flesh-colored onesie? And by onesie, I mean it's like all. I mean it really is a full body, flesh-colored. But it's to the wrists, to the ankles. It's all. It's everything. So, but there's no not like you know there aren't nipples and genitalia sort of painted in. It's like, all. It's like a Ken and Barbie doll.
Yeah, it's like the Naked Gun body condom.
It is exactly.
It looks exactly like that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So a couple hit the streets of New York and attempted to nail each move. I do love the way they write at Seven Deadly, by the way. This is obviously for the greater good to demonstrate whether or not these are really positions that are practical. Let's put it that way. Or doable, I guess, would be the other way of putting it. So with a red bed sheet and a pillow in hand, which I think is really the wonderful part about this, is they brought a pillow with them just so that it wouldn't look like they were on the ledge of a fountain just sort of doing these weird sort of moves. They wanted people to realize that it was reenacting.
Right.
What you would probably try to do in bed.
Had I passed a bed without a pillow in the middle of New York, I would have been outraged.
Or well, no sheet.
Right.
Maybe
makes
the
no
pillow's
sense.
Like part of one of the moves. Well, ooh. Maybe it's a prop.
Well, ooh. Well, because there is a tilting factor. Okay, so that's with a red bed sheet and pillow in hand, the pair mm-hmm. pitched a tent.
They did what now?
It's the pair pitched a tent
okay.
at Columbus Circle, garnering their fair share of confused onlookers
sure.
and old men capturing the event for historic purposes.
These were historian old men that were capturing it? We need yes. to document this?
We wow. need to make sure we know what's going on here. Right. So I'm actually, the screen that I'm on is actually part two. Whoa! So some of these have names like the propeller. Which I now, Carissa, did you get a chance to watch the video of
I
this
did.
Couple? And the head over heels one. There was one where they couldn't quite get her in the right like she kept trying to roll up. She kept trying to roll up on her shoulders. She just couldn't get. And like the fact that you have to like try to balance on you know on your neck somehow, it just doesn't seem like that's going to be fun.
No.
So what they do in the video? Oh, the seesaw. What they do in the video is they also give a rating of whether or not it is practical. So they'll do like an X or a check mark. So the check mark is for go ahead and give that a twirl. So that one's a check mark. So the seesaw gets a check mark. So you can go to Seven Deadly Mag. You'll find this. Oh, and now I don't know why she has to lay back with her head on his ankles. I'm not really sure what's happening there. But you have to be really flexible in order for your knees to be at his hips and then your body to go back. That's
yeah, no.
yeah. There's one where she's supposed to have. They're both standing up. She's on one foot and she has her ankle on his shoulder.
Yeah, no.
That was. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. So if you were walking down the streets of Chicago, let's say you're at Millennium Park, and I mean, I don't know what laws they're violating because they're not actually participating in intercourse.
Yeah,
they're
and just, they have on their onesies.
They have on their onesies.
They're
right.
dressed.
Right, and they're not actually. They're not.
There's nothing.
They're reenacting.
Right.
They're, yeah.
It's just a very strange interpretive dance. That's just what it is.
This one gets a check mark. I'm not sure. I did not see the title for that one. Thank you. I'm being given.
It is great what you were just handing.
Here it is. The lusty leg lift is the one I was talking about. That's. So she can only. She can only get it to his hip.
It's so good.
And it's supposed to be up. Yeah. And so he has to crouch down to try to get her. Yeah. This. I think this is good radio to talk about people trying to reenact.
To do this stuff. Well, but your question that you were going to ask to our audience is if you were walking down Chicago and mm-hmm. you saw something like this going on.
Like the thigh hugger.
Right.
Oh, the thigh master. This one's called the thigh master.
The thigh master. If you saw a bunch of people doing the thigh master.
That's what it's called. The linguine.
Not the workout.
Now,
right.
if you saw someone doing the linguine.
I would never do a linguine. That just sounds disrespectful to me.
Well, and that seems like a curvature of the spine that isn't healthy for
right.
either person. That doesn't seem like that should happen. Yeah, so my question being, if you were walking down the streets of Chicago, and, I mean, like, would you walk by and be like, well, this seems... Because I mean, there are. You'll see kids walking by. They're near a fountain, which I think is appropriate. That there's flowing fluids. Craig's like, yeah, that's what she would
say. I see what you did there. Yep. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
That's a bad. Well, it's sort of like spot like,
with a Pella.
Like a rupture, like, you know.
Yeah, keep explaining. Good. Taking notes now.
I just see that fountain coming behind them because it adds an element to the picture that I don't think that I can really articulate.
Do you think they asked for control of the fountain? So while they did the positions, they could like turn it on and off?
Right, so it becomes like it just really spurts right.
It's
at
just
the right
a part
time.
Of the show. You gotta,
maybe
it should
the
be
historians.
Yes.
Maybe he's the one doing it.
Right.
Yes.
The older historian guys.
Controlling it.
And what's great is that you see like kids stopping by and the kids like aren't even, they don't really know, so they just keep playing in the fountain. It's the older, like I like the guys that like take a seat on the ledge, like they got popcorn, you know.
No, the one where the grandma's just like staring the whole time. Oh,
because there comes a point where you're seeing something and your brain doesn't quite know what to do with the information. Right. Mm-hmm. It does, because they're sitting there watching and they're like, I don't. And then they'll see people walking by and like they're still walking, but they're looking and they can't quite stop. This is really strong. I believe that you just cleared my sinuses out with this. Okay. So have it. So, Nikki, let me know. Okay.
Mine tastes wonderful. Mine tastes awesome.
I am all warm inside now.
Do you think when the kids passed by this, they just thought two bears were fighting?
Wait, what did he say?
Because of the brown onesies, it really could just be two like teddy bears or something. Oh, it's a teddy bear fight.
Is that what you call it? Are those two bears fighting?
Yep. That's what I would have thought it was.
So
I
do you want me to get these guys to come to your birthday party at Knife and Time?
Ooh, yes. With the clarinet players.
Clarinet players. Right.
The two fighting bears.
Classy music. And then fighting air quote bears.
Yes. Yeah. Well, okay. So here's my two questions. Nikki, what?
Do you like it?
It's amazing. Good. It's and Bob Ferguson is going to put the equipment away before he finishes his, because he's like, yeah, I'm going to come back and have some of that. Wow, that is. I'm a big fan of butterscotch, and so this is like a naughty butterscotch is what I
just naughty on naughty topic.
All right, we're still going to continue with our midnight teas because we're going to talk about the propeller or whatever else comes up in the course of this discussion. You're listening Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.
You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your past said.
I see what you did there, producer Craig Collins. I see what you did there. Are you feeling lonely? Are you feeling a little bit lonely? You know what? There's a maybe you need a hugging chair.
Honestly, at work sometimes I feel just a little bit lonely over here since I'm not in the studio with the rest of you.
Do you want a hugging chair?
I think I would love a hugging chair.
Hugging chair. Everyone needs a hug from time to time.
Don't they?
Can we talk about this, Craig? Because you and I had to learn how to hug.
I don't hug. I actually still don't, if we're being fully honest.
There were times when I remembered that. I was like, oh, right. Because being someone who had to learn how to hug, I appreciate that. And
challenges?
Not challenges.
They're challenges?
But you're a little adverse to it.
I'm hug-adverse.
And we have similar reasons, and that's not, you know, for me, it's kind of the assumption. For a long time, it was the, and then there are people who, like, hold on too long, and that would always make me feel a little claustrophobic. And I had a friend in college who was actually my husband's best friend, Henry, knew that I was uncomfortable getting hugs, and he would hold on, like, just
he would purposefully, I
would need a full body 3-hour massage afterward just to relax. Only problem being, I don't like being massaged either.
Right,
because
that's interesting. You chose to have more people touch you.
I don't,
because that was my big problem. People touching me.
It's taken me a while to get massages as well. So
When I was in business and I did the sales, I had to really practice my handshake, mm-hmm. going in and doing a firm handshake, one,
yes.
and also touching a lot of other people's hands.
Well, handshake I've always been okay with, and I never like when someone gives me that, like, this thing.
The limp noodle?
The fish.
I mostly limp noodle it.
I'm like, put some paper on that. Don't go sell that at the fish market.
I swing it in there, and I don't know what it's doing, and then it comes on out.
I actually remember in college meeting a guy who just, like, you know, I was like, oh, does he not have any muscles in there? You do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I know it sounds terrible.
I've seen the respect lost for me when I shake someone's hand.
No, you shake hands fine.
And then they just,
you shake hands
takes
fine.
Over.
We're talking, like, you know, the worst handshake ever for anyone to do is the handshake with the little finger that, like, strikes the little. It's the grossest. And I apologize to anyone who's watching online that just happened. Yeah, because it was the finger that I had to use for that, because it's the one that they use.
Right, the little hand tickle.
The hand tickle. But the implication being, I could do this for you. is...
Oh. I never thought of it that way.
Yes, that's why it's creepy.
I had no idea what the tickle meant.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was just a little signature with the handshake. They wanted to be different. Just give me a little tickle.
No.
Everyone in studio has just stopped. I said that. I was like, oh, I appreciate your tickle, sir. No, Craig.
No.
How many tickle handshakes have you received?
You know, quite a few, actually, now that I think about it.
Okay.
Almost everyone in my family
has it's an invitation.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
It's those
dirty people.
And the thing is, like, my instinct is when a guy does that to me is to just clock him,
yes.
Which is inappropriate as well. It's
equally wrong. Yeah, right.
Equally wrong to deck somebody. What do you do? Obviously, you've had that happen.
Yes. One of my old chefs used to do that to me all the time. It would creep me out.
Were you his boss?
Well, yeah, but like, and he was just joking, but it would just,
but that's the thing,
it would gross me out.
It is, and it is harassment, you know, and but we're supposed to like kind of take it in stride, and if we say something, we're being bitchy. I don't even,
yeah.
What other word is there besides that one so that I don't get people mad at
oh,
me?
Oh, there's some YouTube videos for that.
For hand tickles?
No. Oh, I don't know what you're watching. But
I know what you're watching.
There's a lot of videos for a lot of things. What else can I say besides the B word? What other...
I don't know.
Aggressive?
Not being cool. Why don't you say not being cool? Because a guy wants you to be
uptight.
Cool with
uptight.
It.
Uptight.
Uptight. Uptight.
I like that one. Hold on a second.
That's nice.
Uptight. It's good. It sounds appropriate. Okay, so, I mean, is that why you didn't address it? Was it you didn't want to be seen as uptight in the kitchen?
Well, you know, I think when you work in a restaurant and... I don't even know why I'm saying this, but HR rules are like slightly different.
But there are so many businesses that are like that.
Yes.
It's just not, it doesn't apply.
I mean, they apply. I mean,
loosey goosey.
Yeah. It's definitely, there's a lot of antics that go on and a lot of talk that goes on and, you know, and
yeah,
you deal with it. And I know he's joking, but I mean, if I ever felt like he really was doing the tickle for a reason,
mm-hmm.
like then I'd probably kick him.
Okay, well, here's my question though. Would you give him this? And you know what's funny? This actually looks like chef's pants. Would you give him the hugging chair? So the hugging chair, I wasn't sure if it was a chair, like, I thought it was going to be like a massage chair.
Oh, but no. Yeah.
So you actually sit down. You sit down, and then the arms of it, it
it's
looks
like a Raggedy Ann or Raggedy Andy,
right.
And it just sits behind you. It's a big giant stuffed doll,
mm-hmm.
and the arms of the chair are his arms, and you can just wrap them around you
with long, like pillowy arms.
The boyfriend pillow.
It's like kind of like a boyfriend pillow.
What's a boyfriend pillow?
Can I show
it's,
you?
It's
right
a, yeah, she can Google a boyfriend pillow. Or
what kind of boyfriend
or
is
just
he?
Just like the snuggle
how
places
far?
Where you can go snuggle with somebody.
Oh.
Wait,
yeah, there are people you can hire
in
to
Japan,
cuddle.
In Japan. It's actually this product comes from Japan, too. But in Japan, they opened a bunch of what they call like snuggle things.
This is a tranquility chair.
Yeah.
Would you feel tranquil sitting in this chair?
No.
I would. I really want it for the studio. I think it sounds great. I think it would be a nice shot here for the live stream.
I don't think this plays well on our cameras. For
you
this.
Sure?
I don't know.
A Raggedy Ann and Andy just behind me. Give me a hug.
Give me a hug. Oh, here we go. That's a little better. So, look, it's a cap. It's got a little cap for it, too. Look
yeah,
at that.
Yeah.
So he would totally be good in your kitchen because he's got a hairnet already. He's already got that covered.
I don't want that in my kitchen.
You don't want that? He's a little well, the rest of the chair is just like a regular, like,
you know what's
ergonomic
weird
chair.
Is all the photos you see are with people in the chair getting a hug. I really wonder what it looks like when no one's in the chair.
I thought you were going to say if you sit facing the hug.
Oh. Like how I jumped out of the airplane for my skydiving?
Yes.
I went facies? Yeah. You just got to go. You got to go face to face.
I mean, otherwise, you know.
I got to see the guy while we're jumping out to make sure he's safe.
I don't know if I can. Around a quarter of Japan's population is currently over the age of 65, a figure expected to rise 40% in the coming decade. So these are people who might be lonely, you know, whether they
work a lot in Japan.
they work what?
They work a lot.
Oh, you mean they have long hours?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
they
need
long
hugs.
Work days, yeah.
And they need hugs?
They got to go home and get a hug.
Are they huggers in Japan?
I don't think so. They don't really seem like huggers.
Yeah, but Nikki's giving a big no.
They bow a lot, but there's no hugging. There's no physical touching, right?
Yeah, and now we're coming to a point culturally where Americans are hugging more than they are shaking hands, which is strange because I'll go in for the, like, I'll see someone do this, and I think we're coming in wide for a handshake. and then it's okay.
Okay.
No, I do that too, though. I don't know if we're giving a hug. Just
I know
it's awkward,
and then you can't wait for like the you know for them to initiate because then it seems like you're not going to receive whatever that is that gesture is. It happens a lot in Los Angeles because they hug and they kiss. Oh, and then there are people who kiss. Yeah, there's there's a comedian that I know who I'm good friends with who comes in for the kiss, and I never know like what you know. And then he's black because I'm and then I'm like, am I being racist if I don't let him kiss me? And there's a lot going on.
And well, Patty, being from the Latin culture, having like Latin relatives, you know that that's a kissing culture. So when I went and met all of my wife's family, they all kissed me a lot more than I was expecting.
Yeah, there's a lot.
And I had to like fake kiss back, kind of. I was just missing. They all thought I had awful aim.
On my Irish side, I have a lot of kissers, too.
Really?
And the Irish side, I'm not sure what's going on, but they got a little sloppy. They're
wet kisses?
On your cheek?
Well, yeah, on my cheek. And I will say, this is a weird story, but at my wedding, my dad was not a big hugger and a kisser when I was a kid. And then when I got older, like in high school and especially in college, my dad started to realize that I was growing up and I was moving away. And we actually got closer the older I got. And he started giving me hugs and kisses. Well, my dad was a smoker, which was a lot. So he had a lot of saliva in his mouth. And at my wedding, I felt so bad because my dad gave... And obviously very emotional, and he gave me a kiss at the altar, and I was like, I can't, it's gonna be really bad if I whack. Just like that was a lot of kiss, daddy. But yeah, I mean, like people who kiss, I try to be, you know, I don't know what the appropriate response is. And I appreciate it because it's obviously, it's a gesture of affection, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't know what we're doing here.
I know, because then if it's like a sloppy wet kiss, like you can't, I mean, you feel bad like being like,
see you later,
like wiping your face off, but like you can't sit there with like a wet cheek. It's gross.
Yeah, I know. Mm. And we don't mean to call out the people who do that. I never told my dad. I just, you know, he would give me a kiss on the cheek and I'd be like, and then I'm like, oh, okay. I could, maybe that's why the Irish carry around handkerchiefs, because my dad always had like a nice handkerchief. All right, so that got to be a little bit strange, and I apologize to everyone. So the hugging chair, if you want to find out more about that, you can Google Japan creates an anti-loneliness hugging chair, and everyone wants one. In the studio? Yay or nay on the hugging chair?
I mean, I'd go with it.
I'd go with it.
I'd say
needs a cuddle.
I prefer the boyfriend pillow.
I prefer the wonderful rum drink you bought in studio. 720 WG and hanging out with Knife and Tie and Carissa and Nikki made some happiness happen.
It did not make the show. It had to go. Maybe next time. I don't know. This is the end of the show.
Aw, I'm kind of sad it's the end of the show. I mean, like, I'm usually... sad that it's the end of the show, but tonight in particular, I've enjoyed our Chicago Clarinet Ensemble that were in studio with us, our guest house band tonight. They were marvelous. And we also have in studio with us Carissa, the proprietor of Knife and Tine. And it's so funny, people are like, why do they call it Knife and Fork? Because a tine is a part of the fork, and why do you got to question it? It sounds so cool. We have Nikki, the bartender, who has made a wonderful concoction that Bob Ferguson has called the best rum drink he has ever had. And is this a spiced rum as well, or would you
it's
call
dark
this?
Rum, dark rum with the Sorrel liqueur that I mentioned, with the all-spice liqueur.
And what is this one called?
Flor de Sal, which is sea salt.
Flor de Sal. Mm-hmm. Flor de Sal. We have also a call from taxi driver Bob, and we have to get to that. Hey, taxi driver Bob, how's it going?
I just turned you on, and I was hearing wild sloppy saliva discussion.
Sloppy kisses? Sure.
Yeah, but this is not involving any kissing, but it was the grossest saliva story that I could come up with, I'm sure.
By all means, hold on a second, taxi driver Bob. We'll be taking
I'll try to keep it as clean as possible for the radio.
Hold on, taxi driver Bob. Before you start, let me invite our callers. If you have a sloppy saliva story, 312-981-7200. And producer Craig can't wait to hear from you.
I can't wait to take those to everything but Ebola, please.
And you can text him and burn out his retinas at 312-981-7200. Go ahead, taxi driver Bob. What's your sloppy saliva story?
Right, so I'm in my last year of high school, about to go off to college, and a friend of mine works for a store that sells flowers in Skokie.
Okay.
And we liked smoking a lot of weed back in the day. And the person that had owned this flower shop liked doing the same thing. So when he would close shop up at night, we would sit in his shop, and we would bring out the bong and start doing bongs in the flower shop. And he had one of his workers at the store there was gay, okay? And he liked doing bongs, too.
So far, you got a lot of elements that we're all fascinated by. You've got a flower shop. You've got a bong with a lot of weed and a gay man. Go ahead. We're in for a penny, in for a pound now.
I got an order here. Okay, right. we never got high before with this guy.
Okay.
And the gay guy. And so we hand him the bong, and we ask him, you know how to do a bong, right? He said, oh, yeah, no problem. So you know how you do a bong.
Yes.
I mean, I've never done one, but you know.
No, yeah, no, me neither. No, not at all.
Right. So instead of sticking his mouth in the bong.
What?
He would put his mouth over the bong, similar to.
Right.
right. And so his saliva was running down the inside of the bong. And I was like, whoa, Millie. I think I'll pass.
Yeah, Nilly's got a lot to say about that. Yeah, no, I can imagine. I don't care how good that stuff is. Yeah,
oh,
that's
no, we lost Taxi Driver Bob.
Oh, no. My favorite part, which you could not see, which our viewers online, WGNRadio.com, could see Nikki going, is like that. And I was like, oh, when Nikki.
You couldn't get it.
I couldn't, well, because it's been a long, honestly, it's been about 15 years since I've had a bong in front of me. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember that you. So it's a tube. So you put your mouth inside the tube. And apparently, this gentleman was used to wrapping his lips around and said,
"Oh yeah."
Which would?
And then
that would work.
Well, like,
I mean,
saliva,
like all
like,
you have to
dripping
do is
down your side. It's so gross.
Once again, if you have a sloppy saliva story that you would like to share, 312-981-7200. I want to take a. Let you know from John, one of our listeners is on Facebook. He said, the tunes you use for the opening and closing of your radio show are quite good. Can you please let me know the name of each song and who the artists are who did the recording? So the beginning of the show is One Girl Revolution by mm-hmm. Superchick.
That's correct.
And I'm not sure what the...
The end of the show is an original Jason Skaggs.
That's the end of the show. Yeah, that's Jason Skaggs.
Gotta go. Mm-hmm. End of the show, yeah. So. Jason played all the instruments on that and created the whole thing himself.
So I don't know that
we're getting some horrible texts right now. I just want to let you know. These are things. I'm turning this off. I'm not reading this.
Are they complaining or they're sloppy saliva stories?
These are really good.
A lot more than just
Nikki,
saliva.
Is there really good. Anything you want to read, Nikki? Anything you think is a problem?
No. Stop.
I can't share, but I won't.
From the 630, right? Right,
yes.
Nikki, from the
630? You can't.
Yeah. You don't want to read that.
I'll read it after the show.
Oh, sweet God.
That's truly something we couldn't get to. Oh, Nikki just whimpered.
Because it's more than saliva.
Oh, that was Carissa. That was Carissa just whimpered.
There was an exchange of
We have a phone call. Let's see what's going to happen to your ears. That's probably a complaint. It's Friday night. We've been on every night this week. I think I've held up pretty well with the cameras being on every night. The problem with the cameras being on during the show is that I also leave the studio and think the cameras are still on me. So I never quite am able to separate like when I'm being watched and when I'm, you know, I'm in private. So, are we taking a story? We're taking a sloppy saliva story. This is a new segment. I'm pretty sure we're debuting.
This is sadly the opening and closing of this segment. Sloppy saliva stories.
Thank you, everyone, for your sloppy saliva stories. We have John, who would like to share his story with us. Hi, John.
Oh, hello. How you doing?
We're good, thank you. What's your story?
Okay, my story is I work, let's say, for the transit system.
Okay.
And you know how guys goes in and out of the transit system. And this one guy, he was, I guess he was high on something, and they usually maybe it was, you know, they do the nod and stuff. So he was nodding, and when he was nodding, his saliva was falling, drip down his mouth.
Uh-huh. Drooling, little drool.
Falling, and almost, yeah, he was drooling, and it almost hit the ground. I said, hey, and he sucked it all the way up to his mouth.
Oh, no. Right, because what choice do you make? Do you let it just fall, or do you pull it back in? There's
oh,
only
no,
two ways to go.
John.
Oh no! Oh, look
what
at that!
Happened?
And now we have Jason. Let's see how long Jason lasts. Hey, Jason, our gross texter. What's your sloppy saliva story?
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, this is 630.
Okay, hey, 630. Oh,
yes, it is. I was making out with a girl. That's what, you know, we yep. just got done with dinner, and we were making out on the couch, and I must hit, you know, a reflex or something in her, and I got my dinner back.
You get your dinner back. Oh, that's
back.
That's more than saliva. Oh, is that what you saw on the texting screen? Yeah. So you hit her gag reflex and that. Oh, look at that. Yeah. Oh, that's not an easy thing to come back from. Oh, we lost Jason.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
We also from the 708 had Chris call in to say that he was the guy using the bong the wrong way. I doubt that he's being honest. I don't think that was actually the guy. If that's Taxi Driver
this
Bob's
is,
friend.
You know how Svengoolie is in the Broadcast Hall of Fame? Mm-hmm. This, I think that we should definitely,
it right now.
You should definitely send this
sending
off.
It, sending it at the moment.
Sloppy.
Yeah, sloppy saliva stories.
But, I mean,
I'm surprised that Chris dove on that to like take credit for the guy who was doing the bong
hey,
the wrong way.
It's one way to get on the
I
air.
I gotta call the radio.
He thought that was a prize.
I'm this guy. Yeah, he did.
He really right. did. Is there a prize for this? No. I won't tell it anyway.
Yeah, we're not sending you to a restaurant if you're a sloppy saliva person.
No,
we're
please
not
gonna, don't.
Yes,
yeah,
we're not doing
don't.
That.
I, you know, I, that's why I'm afraid to fall asleep in public, you know, because I... What? No, not that I'll get
yeah,
sloppy.
How
from
often are you at risk of falling asleep in public,
oh.
Patty? Is that...
With the job I have,
right.
oh,
it's
I can
late
fall.
At night.
I can fall asleep anywhere during the day.
I need to remember
anywhere.
That just in case.
I was when I check into hotels. Sometimes mm-hmm. they don't have a room ready for me. I do early check in, and if the room's not ready, I have to decide now to whether you know maybe venture out into the neighborhood near the hotel. Often I'm at the airport, so there's nowhere to go. So do I now? You know, if I sit down. At one of the couches, I've probably stayed up all night and traveled early in the morning. Always catch the first flight out. Do I now sleep in the you know in the lobby of the hotel and then use it? That's my. You know what? That's the sound for the sloppy saliva segment. By the way, when you
I
send
am
that,
isolating it. Good.
When you send that to the Broadcast Hall of Fame, I need this to be on.
Maybe Jason can turn that into a song.
Ew, that's gotcha. Really good, though.
That is really good.
It is really good.
It's good because it's real. She's dripping saliva all over the studio.
I love that I just You're got a thumbs up around the studio for my saliva.
Hashtag.
Segment. Hashtag sloppy saliva.
Sloppy saliva stories. I'm pretty late with Patty Vasquez.
Well, here's the thing. I also have to wear a night guard.
Oh, good.
So that's the sound that it makes when I try to talk. Hey, come on, baby. You want a thong? It's really hard to be sexy when you have a night guard in. I'm almost afraid to name the restaurant because I don't want it attached. So
yeah,
let's do a barrier to
what's
here.
The story we forgot to get to? Yeah.
We did not get to the a map of the country's richest women.
Mm-hmm.
There's a map of the richest women by state, and
yeah.
In the state of Illinois, the richest woman is Penny Pritzker at $2.5 billion net worth. $2.5 billion. Next door to us in Indiana at $5.2 billion is Gail Cook. Up in Minnesota, Diane Hendricks is worth $4.8 billion. Poor Connie Tharaldson. She's only worth $900 million up in...
She's not even trying.
No, she's not.
Lazy Connie.
Up in North Dakota. Oh, look at this. Barbara Everest is only worth $37.5 million.